Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes, the storytelling show that features The Clearing, where all good questions come to get asked and all good stories come to be told, and where all my guests have two things in common. They're all creative individuals and all with an interesting story to tell. There are some lovely storytelling metaphors, a clearing, a tree, a juicy storytelling exercise called 5-4-3-2-1, some alchemy, some gold, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, and a cake. So it's all to play for. So yes, welcome to the Good Listening To Show, your life and times with me, Chris Grimes. Are you sitting comfortably? Then we shall begin. Good morning, good morning, thrice good morning. Chris Grimes is me, but very, very importantly, this is the lovely Christine Marsh. I've been visited by a queen, I feel. She was delivered moments ago by a TJ, who is a Sierra Leonean minder stroke taxi driver.
Yes.
And you arrived wearing your resplendent sunflower yellow.
I thought it was appropriate, Chris.
It was, and it is a beautiful, glorious May Day. It is the 1st of May. Mm-hmm. May Day, but we need no help because this is going to be a glorious, glorious episode. I'm just going to blow some happy smoke at you. First of all, I'm going to reveal your slide. So if you're watching this, this is the beauty that is Christine Marsh. You've got a website which is The Christine Marsh, and you really, truly are a The Christine Marsh. I've been noticing you on LinkedIn for quite some time, and I got back in touch with you a couple of weeks ago. I've prepared 4 superlatives. You are the irrepressible, incomparable, indomitable, and unstoppable. You are Christine Marsh. You became a model at 84.
Yeah.
And you are on a mission. Cop a load of this. By the time I'm 90, this is now me speaking in your words, and you can do this in a moment. I will let you in a minute. I'm just really positioning how exciting this is.
No, it sounds very flattering, so keep going.
I'll just go back a step. You're a business change facilitator from C-suite level only and below, very rarely. International speaker and author. We're going to talk about your book as well. But you're on a trailblazing mission. By the time I'm 90, I want to be the key global influencer on living life to the full for the over 50s.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome for a very special Legacy Life Reflections episode of the Good Listening To Show, Stories of Distinction and Genius, Christine Marsh. The sound of one man clapping to bring you in. So how's morale? How was your journey down with TJ? Talk about TJ if you'd like to too. Let's just get you into the show.
Well, TJ knows that if we have to be somewhere at a certain time, I go a bit ballistic if he's late, and he's only ever done that once, and he'll never ever do it again. He said he's never seen me angry. But it was for a wonderful luncheon in Claridge's, and to go into a preset table setting as the late arrival was the most embarrassing thing I ever heard.
Although there is current scene being enigmatically late, but obviously you're a stickler for timekeeping.
I think it was Alice Gavinska, who is a fifth generation healer. Her books are in I don't know how many languages. She actually sorted me out after a very nasty car accident, and she's taken care of me ever since. So, but she gives these luncheons in Claridge's. They're brunches, actually. And women are invited. There's guest speakers talking about, you know, basically your health and keeping things going. And she also has these books, which I rely on, about owning your own energy.
Yes.
So energy to me is crucial.
You have so many beautiful quotes pertaining to energy. Mm-hmm. There's a lovely analogy about being a matchbox.
Yes.
And you can please do talk about the box of matches, the ignition of fire. And then one of your quotes that I loved was the idea that in order to shine, you need to burn. We'll get on to all of that. But first of all, just to go back a step, if people don't have a frame of reference for the beauty that is the Christine Marsh on your extraordinary mission to go way beyond 90 and beyond, there's nothing stopping you. You're totally unstoppable. But what got you on the trailblazing path that you now find yourself on?
I think because my background had been corporate life and I'd gone from an operational background, new product development right the way through. So I understood the supply chain. And then I got really annoyed that training did not appear to be matching what we needed. Now, that's no reflection on the wonderful guy who was running it, Richard Shepherd, who's been one of my stalwart supporters and is still there rooting for me anytime he can. But the key thing was that it had to be relevant. And I felt I could make a contribution. And, you know, they told me I wasn't suitable. I couldn't do the transition from operational to learning and development. Now, you don't tell me what I can't do, Chris. You really don't.
I think we know that.
That's not the best way to...
That's indomitable.
Yeah, you know, come on. I thought, well, anyway, they wouldn't listen. So I resigned, went off and got this glamorous job going to Geneva and working with Elf Oil and all sorts of stuff. Do you know, I missed the people. The retail is a hard world. I felt there was so much we could do or I could help contribute to Richard in looking at 3,997 people. And breaking it down into digestible chunks. And together, when I went back after 3 months, my chair was now in learning and development. And when Richard was talking about what it was like when he heard I was actually going to join him, and oh my God, I cope with this.
A bit of an I told you so. There you are. You're back in exactly the chair you'd already decided you were going to sit down on.
He's been a fantastic mate. He came to my book launch.
Yep.
You know, you have someone who sees talent in other people and gives you the opportunity to shine.
And your book, we're going to talk about, we're going to do a dedicated section about your good book, but Flashpoint Transformation. Yeah. I know there's the story of the Matchbox is in there. Yeah. And it's about life's choices. Yeah. It's a collective compendium of your wisdom over the 8 decades you've been doing what you do beautifully. And what's really compelling is, are you ready to jump or waiting to be pushed?
Yeah.
And this is what we're also going to be talking about.
I think the main quote with that is change is inevitable. And the people who sit hoping that life's going to go on, especially where we are at the moment, it isn't. It's fast, it's vibrant, it's scary.
Yes.
And, you know, that's not going to happen. So change is inevitable. Stress is manageable. And a lot of people don't understand that. There's a lot of people saying, you know, stress is not good for you. I'm sorry, but that's our survival.
Yes.
You know, we need that adrenaline to get ourselves out of trouble.
Yeah.
The problem is we used to be able to go and punch somebody. We're not supposed to do that anymore. They were upsetting us. So we repress stress and we're in a stress state of adrenaline fix. But the key thing to me was life's choices and the percentage of people, if I could help them. Now, that is just a taster. I don't go into my business. Everyone thought I was going to write a business book. And I thought, no, this is just me sharing some tips and techniques and provoking people to think, you know, what are their life's choices? Are they ready to jump or are they going to wait? But stress is manageable. What I love is misery is optional. I worked with one client in Birmingham. The company had been taken over by a French company and that wasn't going down very well. And the problem was that the one guy was trying, you know, everyone's doom and gloom and down in the dark places and it was life dreadful. And he said he would go home, take it out on the wife, kids, kick the dog, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And come back in with a smile, say, right, you know, today's another day. And we went in smiling and everyone said, what the bloody hell's the matter with you today? Don't you know how dreadful it is? You know, how can you possibly see positive in anything that we're doing? So misery is optional.
And we're getting beautiful quotes already. We're suffusing this with just delicious quotes. There is a favourite inspirational quote, invocation at the end, which we'll come on to. So if I may, I'm going to get you on the open road of the structure of the Good Listening To show. Mm-hmm. And the invitation is to go where you like, when you like, as deep as you like, whenever it occurs, as I take you through the journey.
Okay.
If you've not seen the show before, where have you been? We're about 250 episodes in. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be a clearing, a tree, a lovely juicy storytelling exercise called 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. There's going to be some alchemy, some gold, a couple of random squirrels, a cheeky bit of Shakespeare, a golden baton, and a cake. So it's all to play for. Yes, nom, 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 nom. I'm glad you're looking forward to the cake.
No breakfast, so that is essential.
And I couldn't resist but do a Legacy Life Reflections show with you. It's so not over because you're trailblazing to 90 and beyond. Yeah. But it's just really exciting to get someone that is all about zest and energy and how you apply that energy. Here you are at 84 and a model at 84 too. And
Chris, can I just add the 50 was when... In the boardroom where I was after a very hostile takeover, there was a stuffed eagle. And one of the directors laughed and he said, that's what happens to the women round here. They end up as stuffed birds.
Oh!
And when I was coming up to 50, I knew I was going to be made redundant.
Wow.
And sure enough.
Wow.
So you're past your sell-by date in retail, best before dates, those kind of things.
And that's why you've specifically picked...
Yeah.
It's not over, and it's almost like the next phase of life from 50
yes.
plus.
Yes.
And what happened to that particular individual when he said that to you?
At that time, I had been one of the survivors of a hostile takeover bid, and there were only 30 of us. And I knew I had a shelf life of about 18, 20 months. And then once they'd leached or you'd contributed,
yes,
you'd be offered a redundancy. So I was already planning my own business.
Okay, let's get you on the open road. The clearing, first of all, is your serious happy place. So Christine Marsh, business change facilitator, world-renowned international speaker and author. What is a clearing for you? Where do you go in your life's rich tapestry to get clutter-free, inspirational and able to think?
Physically, I can't. I can't physically go somewhere because of the travelling that I've done, and I think the 4 years you mentioned, the death of my husband, and basically that was survival. So I found it hard to have a happy place, and having to move and everything that's gone on there. It's in my head. I know that sounds dreadful, but I have a place quietly in my head where I go.
And if I may help you help us explore that. So how would you describe that special place in your head?
It's quiet. I like music in the background and virtually concentrating on my breathing and just get some peace and stop the world and get off.
I love that. And you travel to many, many places, but the place is self-containment. It's within your own head whenever you need to go there. And that's quite zen of itself.
Mm-hmm.
As a borrowing from that philosophy. But when was the last time you remember being in your clearing?
I think, when did I last go there? It was at 18th of December, 2024. And I'd looked at the fact I'd moved, everything had settled. And I thought, now what? And I had two options. I could mature and age gracefully or be disgraceful. And guess which one I chose?
I'm glad you did.
So that basically was, okay, start a new life. Blank sheet of paper. What are you going to do with the rest of your life?
That was one of the first really compelling things in a very early part of our first conversation when you talked about life presenting you after the death of your husband with a completely blank piece of paper. So rather than retracting within and just staying in your clearing, you've actually come out almost all guns blazing.
The station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I think the thing is that Colin, we met when we were 17, so we grew up together.
Yeah.
He never particularly wanted to know what I did, but he supported me in my madness. The only time that it went a bit pear-shaped is We got involved in pyramid marketing, and that was another story, and I started selling. I'd never saw it selling. I was just offering a service. I never thought sales was imposing on somebody. And I actually found that my area, my region, had got top marks, and the phone went, and it was, "Christine, we want you in Geneva on Tuesday as one of our speakers." And he said no. Now, that came as a shock.
Your husband said no?
No, yeah. Can't do it. You are a wife, you're a mother, we've got two young children. And I'm very proud of him, because having said no, I think that was his survival technique with three women in his life, with our two daughters first, and then think about it. He came and he said, "Look, you've worked really hard for this. What do you need? How long will you be away? Can we work together?" And that was how we got through my mad, crazy adventures afterwards. Just yeah. Tell me where you're going. Let me know when you're back. And if you can manage to send smoke signals up or something to say you're still breathing. He supported, but he never really wanted to know what I did.
Yes. So he allowed you to weave your magic.
Yes.
And magic you have weaved. And that's what the collective wisdom is all about here in the book that we'll talk about later on as well. So if I may, I'm now going to intrude slightly in your clearing by arriving with a tree. And I'm going to shake your tree. Okay. And it's a bit deliberately existential, a bit Waiting for Godot-esque. And this is where you've had 5 minutes, Christine Marsh, or as long as you've needed since you very kindly agreed to be in the show, to have thought about 4 things that have shaped you, 3 things that inspire you, 2 things that never fail to grab your attention and borrow from the film Up. That's a bit, well, squirrels. You know, what are your shiny object syndromes, your monsters of distraction? And then the one is a quirky or unusual fact about you.
Okay.
So over to you. It's not a memory test. I'll curate you through it. But 4 things that have shaped you, first of all.
Being born in India. I think that was what I call my unorthodox beginning and introduction to life. Born in 1940, the war started. And my father was posted, well, he was in India with my mother and elder sister, and get my relationships right here. All the families were actually moved up into Kashmir.
Yeah.
And we were there virtually for the duration of the war. So my poor sister, bless her, Rosemary, I love her dearly, she's in Canada. She was sent to boarding school. And that was a bit tough because I was a little cosseted brat that was left behind. I didn't get any education. Nobody got at me. So my brain was never formatted. I never had to comply. I'd never had any tick boxes or exams. Or I think it's 2 or 3 now they're testing these little mites. So I think it's wicked. You know, the time when you should be having fun and creating and developing your imagination and all the gorgeous things about being a child. So basically, it turned out that the penalty for that freedom was when we returned in 1947. I think there was something that went on where the Brits were kicked out of India. They found I couldn't read. So this disruptive child actually was masking the fact that these black squiggles didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I wonder how, I don't know if it's verging on dyslexia. I don't know all the official terms.
Yes.
But basically, artistically, I see shapes. And I never related that shape to a word. You know, it was one teacher who twigged that within this. Shall I tell you what she did to me?
Sure.
She sat me down and she showed me, and it was black squiggles. They didn't look many of them. And it's actually the famous saying, I think they use it to test typing things on keyboards. Do they was printing? Because Colin was a printer, so.
There's a lazy dog in there.
That's it, yes. Yeah. The red fox jumps over the brown lazy dog or the other way round. So she said, oh. And I thought, what? She said, oh, there's a dog here. And I thought, what's a dog? I can see black squiggles. And what she did, she got the picture of that squiggle to equal dog. Right, click, got it. Fox, she taught me nouns, boof, just like that. Wonder what they're doing. Oh, jumping, verb.
Yeah.
Right, adjectives, colour, brown, red. I mean, isn't that brilliant? Where does this teaching spark have had that genius? She has been the foundation of why I felt that nobody should be judged unless they had the opportunity to learn.
Yes.
And that's been my life mission.
And seeing patterns and in the squiggles.
Yeah.
I don't doubt would have helped you later on as a facilitator, because you're there looking at supply chains and just seeing patterns of behaviour.
Yes. Yeah.
So actually, it's a very compelling way to learn rather than the obvious way to learn.
Yes, you'll see, you'll go, I did some work with Elizabeth Arden, and again, the clients have all become dear friends. When Colin died, the number of people who turned up on my doorstep to see if I was okay.
Yes.
And still do. So the key thing really was, I give you 1.5 hours. We just paid a fortune to one of the top people. And what they do, they send in graduates on £500 a day, and they're charging £4,000 a day for the services. And he'd had these reports, and all they'd done is ask the people what the problem was and then send it back as a report. Well, no solutions to it.
Yeah.
He gave me 1.5 hours. He said, get down on my production line if you come back with anything that can be sorted. And I thought, you're saying I can't, don't you? And guess what the response was? So you go down, they have this very expensive cellophane that they wrap. I think you pay that instead of what's the cosmetics in the jar, yeah, kind of thing. And there was wastage. And I thought, well, how can you afford to waste that amount off a bale of cellophane? Fortunately, there was a delivery just coming in. Went out and watched the forklift driver, and no one had trained them. They were using agency staff. So the forklift prongs, instead of going into the pallet and lifting the pallet, were going on the top of the pallet and scratching. Well, you know, you lost a good 6 inches.
Yes.
Sorry if you're into centimetres or something. I'm still in inches and pounds and shillings. Bear with me. And the other thing was, they had 5 different titles, and you thought, why do you need 5 managers here on a production unit? And it had been the way of quelling the troublemakers. If they moaned, give them a bit more money and give them another title and shut them up.
Right.
But, you know, what happened to decision making? Over the fence, it's them. They decide.
Yes. So deferring responsibility.
Totally. You didn't have that clarity of who did what, actually.
And again, coming full circle, it's you noticing the squiggles of patterns of behaviour.
Yes.
And then changing, and then presumably saving an absolute fortune.
Well, from that, I was then put into, Port Sunlight, is it? Unilever. And that was on a negotiation skills workshop.
Yeah.
Well, you can imagine this container coming across the oceans with, it's got, SO7 in it. Well, the departments didn't collaborate. They were in competition to get,
yes,
the biggest supply at the best price with each other. It's loopy.
Yes.
So what I did, I got them in a workshop. And this is where I don't get this out of textbooks. The only letters after my name are CPT, and that's Certified Performance Technologist,
yeah,
and that has to be American.
And what's so compelling, going back again a full step, is that most people will be reflecting back on their career at 84, but you're still out there wanting to speak, wanting to connect, wanting to help solve problems.
Well, I'm learning. You know, nothing is unsolvable. I know that sounds pretty dramatic, but you sometimes have no option. We've got to solve what we're doing to this planet, or we're going to be zotted, aren't we? Let's face it.
Yes. So next shapeage, number one is being born in India,
mm-hmm,
and then meeting your first key influencer teacher who saw how to help you.
Yes. I think what happened then was coming back to the UK, this army brat. But because you moved around so much, Chris, I don't know if you've experienced that, but you're always a new kid on the block.
Yeah.
There were established friendships. So I became an observer.
An outlier. Which, again, is very useful for the art of facilitation.
Just watching the connections, yeah, who goes out with who, who's talking about who behind, yeah, their backs, all this kind of quite difficult observation stuff going on. But do you realise how many people were army brats that had been in India? Joanna Lumley, the Goons, Peter Sellers, all those, yeah, were army brats. And our survival technique was humour.
Yes, yes.
So that's why I have a laugh at life.
A great lens indeed. So that's wonderful. Shapeage number 3, please.
Oh, what did I do there? Well, obviously, family. They should have come first, but you have responsibility. We married very young, 21. We had 2 beautiful daughters, Alison and Rachel. And it was very different then, because back in the sort of late 70s, women stayed at home, stereotypes. And I think Alison was 5, Rachel was 3 at the time, 2 years difference. You know, I had, when Colin was made redundant, to make some pennies to help. And the Avon round was going. So how many people out there started with an Avon round?
Bing bong, Avon calling. I remember that.
Yeah, but you know, it fitted in with women and family, and you could do it in the evening. And so he bought me a little Fiat, and I used to bomb round helping people. As I say, I didn't see selling imposing, it was providing a service. And that's always been whatever I do. If I can't provide a bona fide service that gives you a result, then kick me out.
Yes. So you're inveterately always trying to help and shift things to make them more efficient.
Detective work, I like to see it as. Do you know what that means? Detective work is finding information not readily available. So yes. I'm being told one thing and the other. So when they were sort of competing for this thing, what I placed on a table was one orange. And these people had to negotiate for the orange. And they split into groups. So one were playing the provider of the orange and the other were the people who wanted to buy the orange. Chris, you wouldn't believe what came out of that simple exercise.
I'm sure.
It was unbelievable. They were really getting into it. And this young kid got it, a young gentleman there rather. Sorry, kids are nanny goat offsprings, aren't they? Sorry, it's a horrible phrase. Sorry, kids. But basically, no one had said, what are you going to use it for? Why have this possession of the orange? Why are you fighting over an orange? And what it was, one group needed the zest. The other people needed the juice for a drink.
Yeah.
The other people needed the pips because they were looking long term and planning an orange orchard. So they weren't looking at immediate return. They were looking at long term. Can you see how my brain chunks
sort of
over?
The art of collaboration.
Yes.
Yes. That's a wonderful exercise. I've seen it described before. It's not just cutting it in half and giving them half each. That's the most obvious compromise. Yeah. But then digging into who needs the zest, the pips, the rind. Yes.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
We could be at shapeage number 4 now, please.
Right. So the family obviously got into work, really, because that was a necessity. I will tell you about pyramid selling at some time, because that was absolutely the formation of my speaking and management career. But really, the key thing is the whole thing of communication.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question.
Certainly.
Okay. I'm going to describe something that's really clear in my head.
Yeah.
What do you see? The animal has long nose, big furry ears. Without thinking, what pops into your head?
Long nose, big furry ears. Yeah. I'm getting a donkey hybrid, could be an anteater. long nose. Dog.
Yeah, okay. We're supposed to have one animal, not a zoo.
I'll go for the zoo. I'll go for the donkey.
Right. Do you know, this is why we get on. I think in the years I've been using this, I've only found 25 people who see a donkey the same as I do.
Oh, you do too?
Yes.
Oh, that's a revelation.
Yeah, there you go.
That's a source of great joy. Thank you.
Yeah, no, the donkey. So you get, I love it because you're doing watching. So you get the very quick-witted people who don't allow you to even finish an end. You know, they see an anteater. And then you say, well, what happens to the big furry ears? There aren't any. And what happens when his nose is in, or it's not his nose, it's his tongue. So you have this absolutely random conversation about anteaters. And then somebody will see a nice bunny rabbit.
Yeah,
they go to the soft, fluffy bit, you know, and they forget all about the long nose. And then you have a big debate. Is it a skull or is it a nose? And, you know, from that simple exercise, I've done it with groups all over the place, and it just shows communication is an illusion. Who's it? Was it George Shaw? What's he called?
Bernard Shaw.
Yeah. He said that the problem with communication is the illusion that's taking place.
Absolutely.
And I think that's such a quote. Yes. Because we spout off.
And it's not what you say, it's what people hear.
I hope you hear. What animal did you see, I wonder?
Yes. Yeah. You can actually comment and say, what animals did you see?
What animals but did you see?
I'm thrilled that I've had we share a donkey.
There you go, that's why we connect.
That's the first bit. That's four things that have shaped you. And now three things that inspire you, Christine Marsh.
Okay. Travel. It really is, I think, because we came back from India, went out to Singapore. It was north. You were doing Cambridge. You then came down and you were doing Oxford. And then you went, oh, it was ridiculous. But I had five blissful years in Singapore and made, I think, a true friend lifelong. I've only got very few true friends that who know me to the depths, because I'm usually quite a private person, believe it or not. So Jill, who's sadly gone on ahead of me, she really was a big influence for me.
What's her second name?
Jill King at that stage. And then she became Jill Kemp. And her daughter is my goddaughter, Sarah. And she got a lovely son, Simon, who is the chef who cooks meals to die for. If you want to go to South Africa, or I bring him over here, Chris, and make him cook for us.
Yes, please. Okay. The way to my heart is with through food. Nom, nom, nom.
Yeah, so, you know, that was really the travel factor. And that's why I went through this unorthodox beginning.
Yeah.
And then from 7 till 36 was orthodox.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't actually, because at 36, I decided to start my own business.
Yeah.
And that really was the biggest decision I've ever made. And here I am.
And that was the prime objective. Is that the...
Yeah. It was... I'd had to sack somebody over a technicality, and I felt pig sick because I knew higher-ups were getting away with it.
Yeah.
And this kid was just being a scapegoat. And I was driving back and I thought, I can't work like this. This is going to do me in.
Yeah.
I'm in the prime of life. Why don't I focus on company's objectives? So what's your problem?
Hence the prime objective.
Prime objectives.
Yes. And you saying you're in the prime of life, you always are. You have a perpetual carpe diem. still in the prime of life.
Yeah.
I mean, what is, again, I can't get over the fact that it's so not over, because your mission is, you know, as going as long as you can, being as inspirational as you can.
So 50 is getting over this, and the momentum is growing now. More and more groups are saying, look, this is ridiculous.
Yes.
The retirement age no longer is, you know, they want you to work till, 70 before you get your pensions. That's one of the things they're muting. So, you know, this... health, I don't know whether it's medicine or are we eating healthier or whatnot, but we don't pop off quite as early as we used to. I think women still outlast the men.
Yes.
But so...
And I'm sorry that you're proof of that, because I know that obviously...
Yeah, no, he was out mowing the lawn and didn't feel well. And the cruelest thing, Chris, was it was the beginning of COVID and the ambulance came and I wasn't allowed to go with him. Children weren't allowed to visit him, and we were allowed to see his dead body.
Yes.
Now, you know, how families have coped with losing children, I just feel sick.
Yes.
You know, we'd had a good full life. He would not have wanted to be an invalid.
Yeah.
It doesn't sort of help that you're left muttering at him and giving a few swear words of, leaving me in this mess to mop up.
And may I ask, did he go very quickly? Yeah.
That was it. That
just
was
a sort of aneurysm, snap, gone.
It was an aneurysm, gone, bang. No, nothing you could do about it. But the problem was, I don't know what's worse, because my dear friend, Penny Reed, bless her, Penny's been a good friend to me. I think it was about 7.5 years of losing somebody through, I don't know if it's dementia, Alzheimer's, it's just basically a lingering parting.
Yes.
Whereas this, you know, you didn't have time to tell them that you loved him.
Yes.
And I think that's, it's a fact, but it's not giving you that chance.
And this was the genesis of your blank piece of paper to start again.
Yeah.
Lesser mortals would just sort of reflect, stop, I suppose, deal with whatever inheritance you have and then get on with a happy retirement. But you've not done that.
No, I'd go, I'd think, I don't know what would happen. I think if you've got something that you want to rekindle, and with me it was art,
yeah,
because my father only allowed me a 1 year in art college. And in yeah, my book, you can see what I did at 18. And then basically that died a death. You know, you did things for the school and whatnot. Yeah. But I thought, what am I going to do now with this blank sheet of paper? So at 81, I went on a fabulous course of flavours, holidays, do art courses or cooking courses or whatever. And that was ideal. So I've been to Scotland, I've been to Tuscany, I've just got back from southeast Sicily with a tutor.
Yeah.
And I've now got an opportunity in Stow-on-the-Wold at one of the libraries to have an exhibition. They want me to sell my stuff.
And Stow-on-the-Wold is where TJ has brought you down this very day.
Yes.
Yes.
That's where I decided that I wanted to be part of a community. And I have cultivated good friendships because it's independent living. But yep, I deliberately went around Stow, and I think I bought in every shop to become a friend and a known. And I can walk in now and people say, hi, Christine, how are you doing? But you have to contribute. You can't sit there and expect yes, the world to come to you.
That's such a trailblazing philosophy of itself.
Mm.
Yes, beautiful. We're still on to the other inspirations. So another source of inspiration, and you are being truly inspirational in everything.
I think the people, my eldest daughter, I worked with training people. She works with training dogs. She's just fantastic with other healing skills she's got. Our youngest daughter, Rachel, is a fully qualified conservator. She's managing one of the museums in Woking. And her artwork is out of this world. I mean, I wish I could draw and paint like she does. But there you go. It's
What's your own medium of your own art? Is it is it watercolour? What do you like to craft?
Well, look, you're trying to put me in a box again, so you can imagine what that feels like. What's your medium, Christine? I dabble. You know, I decided, right, I'm going to try everything. So if you look in my book, there's a, I think it's on page 80 or something, there's a beautiful turtle that I've done in oil pastels. Tuscany is watercolour. You couldn't do oils, but you could do acrylics. So I've dabbled and I've just had so much fun. There isn't a style because I'm experimenting. Yes. Life is still an experiment, for goodness sake.
You're still throwing art at the, throwing paint at the canvas of life.
Yeah, because you don't know what
that's
you can
Jackson
do.
Pollock, isn't it, I think? Is that right?
I don't know. It sounds very impressive.
Yes, just hurling paint at the wall and seeing what flops out, metaphorically.
Then I would do a very, very detailed calligraphy.
Okay.
So I love calligraphy. I love the shape and the space. And, you know, you do an alphabet. Well, the letter I has a different space to the letter O or the letter M or the letter Z.
You've done a cheeky bit of calligraphy in dedicating the book to me as well, which I loved as well. Thank you.
But no, it's, I just love seeing that it's the space between things. That's what I see.
Ah, yes.
Does that make sense,
Chris? It does. Absolutely. To all of your philosophy, seeing black squiggly lines to sort of learn to read, it's the spaces in between.
Yes.
And also fixing stuff, curating stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're a people whisperer. Your daughter is a dog whisperer. One of your other daughters is an art whisperer.
Yes.
Wonderful stuff.
Yeah.
Now we're on to the third inspiration, I think.
Music.
Okay.
Music. I was very lucky, my sister being 8 years older, what was she, 18, beautiful, big taffeta ball gowns and young, handsome men collecting. I was a spotty 11-year-old. I mean, it's not fair, is it? I mean, it really is grim.
We've all been spotty 11-year-olds.
Oh, anyway, sorry, that was a big sigh there. But she always had classical music playing. And I thank her very much because her exposure to, I can't even pronounce his name, it's Bruges or something, but I will cry. If I want a good cry, and I did after Colin died, I will put that music on. It's one of the most exquisite, poignant pieces of music. It's just one of those things that it builds in crescendo and it gets to the point where you're at that point of agony. I can't describe it any other way, and the only thing you can do is cry.
And do you sit in your clearing?
Do you know that's where I go with that kind of music?
Yes.
Quiet space.
And that quiet space inside your head,
yeah.
The Zen center point, if you like. It's a bit like your own clearing, metaphorically, which I so love having as this.
And then the other music, obviously, with Colin, we both love cars and we both love jazz and big band. So we originally saw Count Basie, Duke Ellington, Ella Fitzgerald, all down in Bristol. They used to come to, you know, fantastic things here. My daughters were a little bit shocked when, for the actual crematorium, I wanted a Count Basie tune. Everyone said, listening to Colin coming in, it was him. Because it comes in, it's slinky, and then it goes, the trumpets come out, and it's...
We'll find out the Count Basie track as well.
Yes, please, because that is my husband.
You've been listening to The Good Listening To Show with me, Chris Grimes. If you'd like to be in the show too, or indeed gift an episode to capture the story of someone else with me as your host, then you can find out how, care of the Series Strands at the goodlisteningtoshow.com website. And one of these series strands is called Legacy Life Reflections. If you've been thinking about how to go about recording your life story or the life story of somebody close to you for posterity, but in a really interesting, effortless and creative way, then maybe The Good Listening To Show can help. Using the unique structure of the show, I'll be your host as together we take a trip down memory lane to record the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 of either your or their life story. And then you can decide whether you go public or private with your episode. Get in touch if you'd like to find out more. Tune in next week for more stories from the clearing. And don't forget to subscribe and review wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.